And there we are. Hopefully there isn't any echo at this point. I think we've got it all hooked up pretty well tonight. I'm showing green in all the areas. Stream looks good. Let me jump over to the chat room, see what you guys are saying. Okay. So let me know in the chat room you can see and hear okay, and we will move right along. I think we're doing pretty well today. I see quite a few of you thank you, Doug. Quite a few of you in the chat room have figured out the application, the Vimeo app on the phones. That seems to be the one that gives the most trouble and frustration to everybody, is trying to join us in the chat room by way of your phone. So it looks like everybody's doing very well tonight. Thank you in the chat room. And sound is good, and the audio, the video is good. And yes, indeed, Vivian, we are on the Patch flight tonight, Patch Airlines. Kathleen's going to be in the chat room tonight along with Doug Diamond, our producer, and the one who has been so diligent, Doug, so diligent in putting together instructions to try and help not only you folks, but myself as well with Vimeo and getting all the links and all the buttons and the whistles and everything's working. So without any further dancing around about that technology, we are going to talk a little bit about technology tonight. It is Technical Tuesday, but we're not going to go too deep into things. I would like to refer to the March issue of Entangled magazine and use that as our touch point for tonight, our guide through our discussion. I would also ask you to prepare any questions, make note of them, and I will leave plenty of time tonight for questions. I'm just taking a look in my email to make sure there aren't any people with major issues getting into the stream, and it looks like we're doing pretty well. Okay, just to let people know here that you can pass it along in Patreon chat when you see questions pop up about the videos. Beyond just the streaming, the videos are posted into the broadcasting tab at anthonypatch.com, and you can watch the live stream later tomorrow on Brighteon or BitChute. Brighteon yesterday was conducting some maintenance on their site, so it was only Brighteon yesterday that it was available. What Doug does, he's a professional audio engineer. That's his claim to fame. And so what he does is he takes the video from the live stream, cleans up the audio for us, and then will, if there are any editing issues that need to be done, he will post a clean version of the live stream the next day. So we need to allow Doug, you know, until the next day to be able to do that. And then that makes it more professional. And I know a lot of people prefer to listen to the live stream a second time right after the live stream concludes. Unfortunately, with Vimeo, we're not able to do that. So just go to Brighteon or BitChute through the broadcasting tab at anthonypatch.com. Also, in Doug's note that I posted to the patrons today, he was explaining that there is a difference between Patreon and my website, which is anthonypatch.com. Anthonypatch.com is a standalone website, and that's where the archives of all the videos, all of the articles, the patents, the white papers, and the links to Entangled magazine reside within the archives. That's hosted on anthonypatch.com. That is a completely separate operation from Patreon. Patreon is where we send messages through Patreon and where we are able to have a running conversation on a variety of topics, very much like a chat room on Patreon in the messaging system, as we find here in the live stream. Okay, so I just kind of wanted to set that apart, highlight that we have two different websites, Patreon and AnthonyPatch.com. So if you have had a chance to take a look at the March issue of Entangled Magazine, you found at the end of the magazine an article that was sent to me at the very last few minutes in which I was composing the March issue. God's timing and God's sense of humor rolled up into one in this article. This was sent to me by a patron. I had no idea that this even existed, but it is absolutely appropriate to what I have published in this month's magazine regarding biological computing and smart vaccines. What I presented in the magazine is the scientific evidence, the technical background to what I'm about to share with you in this article. This month's magazine, as I sort of do every other month, I present, rather than a lot of my commentary, I present the scientific evidence. I also indicated that as an introduction to the March issue of Entangled Magazine, I recommended that people go back and listen to the Sunday live stream. Pardon me. The Sunday live stream was a narrative. It was a setup. It was a narrative setting up the March issue of Entangled Magazine. So there I give my commentary on Sunday, whereby in the magazine I provide the evidence to back up the commentary. So they work together. I'd like to share with you this article that I just referenced. The title is Microsoft 2016. There's a quote in the headline, and I'll read the quote. "We can program complex behaviors using DNA. That's the quote. And then the rest of the headline reads, "Third strand DNA confirmed." Okay. So if you have been following me since 2013, if you have seen the video, my very first video that I posted in January of 2013, you know all about my conversations, my presenting of the evidence of the third strand of DNA. It shouldn't be news to most of you. So I'm going to share with you this article. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Again, I had no idea that this was even published. This is from a posting by, and I'm terrible with pronouncing names, and I apologize, but the author is Silviu Costănescu. Costănescu. Costănescu, I believe it is. Silviu. And the last name is Costănescu. Okay? There's a screenshot from Microsoft Research that leads off on this article. Programming DNA circuits. This was established on February 7th of 2009. Again, the quote from Microsoft Research. DNA is highly programmable, just like a computer. And we can program a whole range of complex behaviors using DNA molecules. No wonder this article is in the March issue of Entangle magazine. I had already completed the magazine when I received this. It was absolutely God's timing. It was so amazing to me. This article completely backs up what we put together in the magazine for this month regarding biological computing. And we will do a dive into that. Right now, I want to do a dive into our scripture for the evening, and that is Ephesians chapter 4. And I'd like to start with verse 20 and run all the way to the end of the chapter, verse 32. That, however, is not the way of life you learned when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught, with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now that last verse, verse 24, connects to our last live stream where we quoted from Genesis and that we were created in the image of God. And to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. You see, this whole vaccine plandemic agenda is giving the devil a foothold, and none of it is based on truth. They are still corrupted. We are told to put off our old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires. That's what the rest of the world is embroiled in, their deceitful desires. We are created new. Our DNA is new. Their DNA is being corrupted by their deceitful desires. Do not give the devil a foothold. That's what the vaccine does. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Boy, if that is not a lesson for all of us. Okay. Back to the article, Programming DNA Circuits. Imagine a biological computer that operates inside a living cell. That's a quote from Dr. Andrew Phillips, head of biocomputation at Microsoft Research. Now, this article came out on March 1st of this year, and they are quoting from the Microsoft Research site established on February 7th of 2009. Entangled magazine takes you back 10 and 20 years to show you the evidence, to show you the research and development of converting DNA molecules, known as small molecules, RNA molecules, small molecules, and programming genetic material in conjunction with metabolism functioning as the circuits, developing literally programmable biological computers within the human body. Remember, I said Elon Musk coming out with his neural lace a couple of years ago and now his Neuralink, that's Model T technology compared to DNA and RNA functioning within the body, within every cell in the body, including the brain, as a computer. Again, from Microsoft Research, DNA is highly programmable, just like a computer, and we can program a whole range of complex behaviors using DNA molecules. Those behaviors include the behavior of the mind, how we think. Another quote, the problem we're trying to solve is really trying to have a more sophisticated diagnosis that can happen automatically inside cells. In this project, we're trying to use DNA as a programmable material, according to Dr. Neil Dalchu, a scientist at Microsoft Research. Now, the author of the paper is speaking. To me, the most striking part in this video, and this is the video that you can see if you watch this, it's linked from Entangled Magazine. If you watch the video from Microsoft, she says, to me, the most striking part in this video is the confirmation that they are after the three-stranded DNA technology Anthony Patch brought up in that sensational 2014 interview, which also earned us a ban from YouTube. Microsoft are essentially trying to sense, analyze, and control molecular information. That's a quote from George Selig, associate professor at the Gates-funded University of Washington. Moderna described messenger RNA as, quote, an information molecule, and even trademarked the name messenger RNA OS, meaning operating system. We have Moderna's head honcho on tape describing the messenger RNA vaccine as, quote, information therapy. And the video of Moderna's boss is included in this article. We have a transcript of this video. I'm going to read that to you. Molecular devices made of, we're talking small molecules, DNA and RNA. Molecular devices made of nucleic acids show great potential for applications ranging from biosensing to intelligent nanomedicine. Okay, we've laid the foundation for what you're hearing, folks. We've talked about this endlessly in the live streams, and especially in the last three or four live streams, we've talked specifically about biosensing and biocomputing. And now that's carried over into the evidence published in Entangled Magazine about biosensing and intelligent nanomedicine. So what he's talking about here, if you haven't gone through the magazine this month yet, I provide all of the foundational information to back up this transcript you're hearing right now, okay? They allow computation to be performed at the molecular scale while also interfacing directly with the molecular components of living systems. Now, what that means is they are taking the genetic material, okay, that's the molecular scale, the molecular components of living systems, those are the genes. So what I'm doing is I'm doing the patch 180 here to reveal the truth, to speak the truth for you. What they're talking about here is genetic material and metabolism. And I'll get into that a little bit deeper after I read this narrative. They allow computation to be performed at the molecular scale while also interfacing directly with the molecular components of living systems. They form structures that are stable inside cells, and their interactions can be precisely controlled, by modifying their nucleotide sequences. This is genetic modification. This is GMO. Okay? They are rearranging the molecules, the nucleotides. They are able then to change the interactions, to control the interactions within the cells. When Moderna says that this is a messenger RNA operating system, the operating system is both computational as a literal operating system in a computer, but that operating system is there for the purpose of limited computations. We're literally talking about logic gates. We're literally talking about what are known as half adders. The ability to run computations, to do arithmetic within the cells. Okay? This fits into my whole discussion of edge computing at the edge of the internet, at the edge of the blockchain. But the operating system also controls the chemistry. It controls the proteins that are expressed. It controls the actions of enzymes. It does this by turning on and turning off, by silencing specific genes, by interfering with RNA, turning on, turning off the genes. When they say interactions can be precisely controlled, that's what they're talking about. This includes the cells of the brain. I'll continue. However, designing correct and robust nucleic acid devices is a major challenge due to the high system complexity and the potential for unwanted interference between molecules in the system. I'm going to take that sentence apart for you. Again, this is why the magazine includes this article and this transcript. Because you can read through this and go back into the previous pages of the magazine and have all of this described for you, explained to you. So high system complexity. When we mentioned on Sunday, stochastic, that is randomness. The ability to leverage randomness in computing is at the leading edge of computing, both classical transistor-based and quantum computer qubit-based. The ability to use the inherent noise in the obtaining of a solution. It is random number generation. Now, we've talked about random number generation and stochastic number production within the context of computing and more deeply within the context of geomancy. The ability to utilize the inherent randomness or seemingly random behavior of the cells is what they mean when they say due to high system complexity. Cells are extremely complex. They appear, because they're so complex, to actually operate randomly. Well, to define randomness in this application, You have to turn the word random around 180 degrees and understand that it's simply randomness is their conclusion based upon their lack of understanding of how the systems operate. It appears random, but only if you're not able to identify the inherent pattern within the system. You see, you have enzymes, proteins, genes, and within the cells, you have the actions of proteins, but more specifically, the enzymes within the cells. There are multitudes of enzymes that result in actions that take place. And you have lactose providing energy. You have ATP providing energy. The systems are so inherently complex that when you start turning on and turning off genes, which results in the production of proteins and enzymes, or the silencing of the production of enzymes and proteins, due to the complexity, you really do not know the full impact of your actions. Last Sunday, I was talking about the mechanistic paradigm of modern day science. And within the mechanistic paradigm is the modeling by reducing complex systems through a philosophy, a perspective of reductionism. You see, modern day science is steeped in reductionism, reducing everything down to its basic, simplest constituent component and form. As you do that, as you move through reductionist techniques, and you start to single out individual components, you're reducing the complexity. But the flip side to reducing the complexity is you are taking away the interactions, and you're taking away interactions that you're not aware of. Those are the patterns. Those are the hidden patterns in the stochastic actions of the cells. In other words, you cannot strip away individual components and turn them on and turn them off and think that you have control over the system. You're actually losing control of the cellular systems by doing this. So what does that mean to you and I in our everyday walk of life? Why should we care about this? Because they are reducing humans down to the serf class. They are reducing humans down to slaves. They are reducing humans down to doing the bidding of orders issued by quantum computers through the blockchain system that humans will be connected to. If you've been listening to us for any length of time, you know exactly what I'm already laying out for you. The idea of reductionism is being applied to the human race by way of the vaccines. They are reducing humans down to very simple computing entities. These are humans that are now synthetic life forms. Synthetic because they are no longer individuals. They are no longer able to determine their own destiny. They no longer have free will. They no longer have independent thought. This is where the vaccines are taking people. This is why I introduced you to the complexity of biological computing and smart vaccines, and we'll define smart vaccines in a little bit here. But they're taking the complex cellular systems, the DNA and the RNA, and they're selecting what activities of the RNA and DNA that they want to allow to continue. Let me say that again. They are determining, by turning on and turning off specific genes, they are determining what they will allow humans to operate as, to modify their behavior, to change their thinking, to change how their biological systems operate. It's one thing to think of human 2.0, as some people want to put it. Some people want to just talk about, well, the DNA gets changed by the vaccines. You got to go deeper. When people think of targeted individuals and mind control systems and Project Monarch and all of these old systems, please understand that those were forerunners to what I'm describing to you tonight. Again, those are Model T technologies. What I'm sharing with you is the leading edge technology that is built into the vaccines that will begin to manifest over the coming months. And once the Antichrist is revealed and that one specific electromagnetic signal transmitted through the 5G system of the world, the biological computing, the switching on, switching off of specific genes, the modification of cellular activity, the modification again of DNA and RNA, the RNA operating system of Moderna. Don't let them fool you saying that all they're doing is producing proteins that have a benevolent impact upon the body. There is nothing benevolent here. They're taking highly complex systems and reducing them down to components that they think they can control. Let me underscore it this way. They know enough to be dangerous. Oh, they know how to rearrange DNA and RNA sequences. They know how to take the nucleotides and move them around. Think about CRISPR-Cas9. Okay? And they can target genes to turn on and turn off, specifically silencing or simple interfering RNA, siRNA, simple interfering RNA. Interfering. Okay? They can interfere with the obvious components. And they don't really care about the rest of the complexity. They don't really care about their other stochastic random activities that take place in such a complex enzymatic and protein cellular environment, and then moving from the cells to the rest of the body to compound the complexity. They don't care about the complexity. They are reducing humans down. They are simplifying humans. They know enough to be dangerous. So as you imagine a sequence of genes and they flip on and flip off individual genes, they don't care about the negative impact that that has. They know enough as to how to control a human through modification of DNA and RNA that they can achieve what they seek to achieve, and that is the enslavement of humanity through their RNA and DNA. Because it is not benevolent to humanity, they don't care about the consequences of their actions in the DNA and RNA. I'll start the sentence again. However, designing correct and robust nucleic acid devices is a major challenge due to the high system complexity and the potential for unwanted interference between molecules in the system. Well, let's define unwanted interference. I already said the malevolent outcome of interference. Well, what is their wanted interference? That's a big question. What do they classify as potential for unwanted interference between molecules in the system? Well, if you're talking about simply biological computing, well, then unwanted interference is where you start seeing the breakdown in the computational circuit, the logic circuits. And I'm speaking literally about logic circuits that you would find in a computer. To help address these challenges, we have developed the DNA Strand Displacement Tool, DSD tool, a programming language. Isn't that wonderful? A programming language for designing and simulating computational devices made of DNA. Now, programming language for designing and simulating computational devices made of DNA. Do you know the word that I've provided to you, the Latin term for that? In silico DNA. The very first article I wrote in June of 2017, the first edition of Entangled Magazine, is entitled In Silico DNA, a programming language for designing and simulating computational devices made of DNA. I published it in 2017. I spoke about it in the video in January of 2013. The language uses DNA strand displacement as the main computational mechanism. Okay, DNA strand displacement, let me define that for you. That is taking a segment, a short segment. Let's say 30 kilobases, and displacing that, okay, out of the entire overall genetic sequence. They're using short strands of DNA that are displaced, that are moved out of the sequence, and using that, in their words, as the main computational mechanism. So they're taking little samples of DNA and using those to compute, which allows devices to be designed solely in terms of nucleic acids. DSD is a first step towards the development of design and analysis tools for DNA strand displacement and complements the emergence of novel implementation strategies for DNA computing. Okay, so they're going to cut and paste DNA and RNA and arrange them into literally logic circuits. Please read my magazine. That's the end of the article. Now, I'd like to share a few excerpts from the magazine. If you happen to have the PDF open, this is page 7 of the magazine. There are two primary categories working together in synthetic biocomputing. First, the genetic parts, the hardware, and second, the cellular metabolism. Genetic components work in conjunction with the remaining metabolic cellular machinery. Okay, so you've got genes that are connected to the metabolism of the cell, the chemical actions, the actions of enzymes and proteins, and other chemicals like sugars, glucose. Okay? So you have the hardware and the software, the metabolism, the metabolic cellular machinery. You can think of as the software. And the genes themselves are the hardware. The result is whole cell, W-H-O-L-E, whole cell biocomputing, utilizing both the transcriptional and the metabolic circuits. Okay, transcriptional is how DNA through reverse transcription produces RNA. And then translation is RNA translating to a protein. Okay? So you have transcription of DNA to RNA and then reverse transcription of RNA back to DNA. When you reverse transcribe RNA, like messenger RNA in a vaccine, the reverse transcription is conducted by an enzyme known as reverse transcriptase. Reverse transcribes the single-strand RNA to produce double-stranded DNA known as complementary DNA. And that complementary DNA enters the nucleus, fuses with the host DNA, and produces a chimeric DNA. Okay? So on this page, I show you that process biologically, and then I show you the computer twin, the complementary logic circuits, the logic circuits that are complementary to the process occurring between DNA and RNA. Okay? This is a chemical process, but literally you have inputs and outputs. You have metabolism, where you have your chemistry, your glycerol, your glycoproteins that then operate in an output fashion for your DNA regulation. Within cells, genetic and metabolic systems work together. There is a concept known as heterotic computing. This is the coordination between different types of computing. I'll spell that. H-E-T-E-R-O-T-I-C, computing, which is inherent in biological systems. Okay, there's a coordination taking place between the metabolism and the genes. Metabolic networks operate as conserved principles that can be implemented to repurpose chemical nodes. So chemical nodes would be your basic energy components, as an example. Those would be nodes. And you can repurpose those. Within the present context of developing vaccines based upon DNA and RNA, RNA is now encoded with synthetic gene circuits. This is where we talk about smart vaccines. What they are injecting into people right now are smart vaccines. They are delivering synthetic gene circuits. The RNA, the messenger RNA of the virus, SARS-CoV-2, is man-made. To go beyond just calling it man-made, we now can be more specific and say that these genes are arranged, the genetic sequence, the genes of the messenger RNA of the virus are arranged as gene circuits. So we not only have just the sequence and the 16 fragments of HIV-1 within that sequence, but those genes in that messenger RNA now function as circuits. These are logic circuits. They are injecting smart vaccines. If you want to think about it this way, they are computerized genes. They are synthetic biocomputers that are being injected into people. I'm providing you the evidence to that outlandish statement. I'm doing it right now, and I did it in the magazine. The RNA is regulated using programmable antigen and adjuvant circuits. These are designed so as not to stimulate the innate or adaptive immune system responses in such a manner that works against the regulatory components of these circuits. At least that is the stated and published goal of the vaccine developers. So, my concluding statement here on this introduction is from the magazine. The post-inoculation reports indicate otherwise. Otherwise to the claimed benevolent effects of the vaccine. The post-inoculation reports indicate otherwise, specifically with respect to the more severe side effects such as anaphylaxis, Bell's palsy, sepsis, major organ failure, and sudden deaths. And I go on through the magazine and I begin to show you the biocomputing systems, how they come about, how they are built, how they are arranged, how they operate, what they look like, all the way down through this. Now, please understand that as I'm presenting the evidence in the magazine, you are hearing from the authors of these papers presenting this in a benevolent fashion. And I provide the editor's note to let you know that we, Kathleen and myself, do not necessarily agree with the positions stated in these scientific papers. And I have 2 pages of references to other scientific research that's all footnoted in the magazine. Okay? So I've tried to make it approachable. I've tried to make it digestible. I've tried to make this reasonably easy to understand. But the big takeaway is this is the evidence. This is the evidence of smart vaccines being injected into people that contain biocomputing circuits. And the result of the biocomputing circuits is not benevolent. It is for the purpose of, through computational, through logic circuits, to connect every cell in the body, including the human brain, to the quantum computers of the blockchain system. This is how they've determined that they can control and enslave humanity, by turning humans into very basic, very limited functioning computers. Now, the second half of the magazine goes into synthetic biology devices and circuits for RNA-based smart vaccines. Among other institutions, this is also coming out of MIT. Let me just read the abstract on smart vaccines for you. Again, this is coming from their proposed benevolent application of the technology involved in smart vaccines. Okay? I'm not supporting this, but I'm presenting the evidence. The abstract. And again, this was published in January of 2015. So it gives you some idea of where we're at right now when you listen to this. Nucleic acid, excuse me, I'm losing my voice tonight. Nucleic acid vaccines have been gaining attention as an alternative to the standard attenuated pathogen or protein-based vaccine. However, an unrealized advantage of using such DNA or RNA-based vaccination modalities is the ability to program within these nucleic acids regulatory devices that would provide an immunologist the power to control the production of antigens and adjuvants in a desirable manner by administering small molecule drugs as chemical triggers. Now, as I've done before, I'm going to break this down for you. There's more, but I want to stop here. Again, they're trying to paint a positive, they're putting a positive spin to this. As Moderna and Pfizer and Johnson and all the others, they try to say that what they are doing by programming nucleic acids, what Moderna is saying when they say an operating system, is what I've said as part one and part two. Part two is obfuscated. Part one is what they put out in the mainstream narrative. And they say, we have an operating system that will modify the small molecules, meaning the genes, and use them as chemical triggers to express proteins. Proteins as antigens that are then recognized by the immune system at a low level and produce a low-level adaptive immune system response, a controllable immune system response. That's what they put out with a positive spin. That's what they're saying here. That's the part one. The part two that is obfuscated is the whole HIV fragments into the nucleus and changing the DNA that completely changes what's going on. But what also completely changes what's going on is the biological computational abilities built into these vaccines. Okay, if you're going to have a smart vaccine, well, how is it smart? Because it has limited computational capabilities as designed in gene and metabolism systems working together in the form of designer logic gates of computation. Okay, I'll continue. Advances in synthetic biology have resulted in the creation of highly predictable and modular genetic parts and devices that can be composed into synthetic gene circuits with complex behaviors. Now, if you're not paying attention, I'm going to read that part again. Modular genetic parts and devices that can be composed into synthetic gene circuits with complex behaviors. And those behaviors are determined by their operating system. This is designer gene behavior. They'll tell you, oh yeah, it's designed to express proteins. Sorry, it goes far beyond that. These are biosensors. When we talk about biocomputing, we are talking about biosensors. And sensors, by definition, have input and output. That's a logic circuit. The input is taking in information from the body and using a transducer, digitizing that analog information from the body. Analog is a continuous signal. Digitizing it, which means taking the continuous signal and breaking it down into zeros and ones. On, off, yes, no. Okay, that's what digital is. It's breaking down a continuous signal into on and off signals. Yes, no. Input, output. With the recent advent of modified RNA gene delivery methods and developments in the RNA replicon platform, we foresee a future in which mammalian synthetic biologists will create genetic circuits encoded exclusively on RNA. Now, this was written in 2015. They're foretelling the future in which mammalian, that's us, synthetic biologists will create genetic circuits encoded exclusively on RNA. That's what's in the messenger RNA vaccines, folks. Also the DNA base, because the DNA transcribes to RNA and then it goes on from there. So the DNA is no different than the RNA. They foresee a future in which synthetic biologists will create genetic circuits encoded exclusively on RNA. This is why I'm presenting this evidence, folks, because they were talking about it in 2015. It's in there now. Here, we review the current repertoire of devices used in RNA synthetic biology and propose how programmable smart vaccines will revolutionize the field of RNA vaccination. So, read the magazine. It's all in there. I was showing you the past because they did not obfuscate it like they are today. You want to know what they're doing today, you have to look at history. You have to go back to the research and development, and most papers will do exactly like this one did, and that is to foresee a future. They always have a proposed application. What they see their current research having as an impact, as an outcome in the future, to justify their funding for their present time research and development. They always have to have the goal. They always have to put that out there. When we look at those goals that are written 5 and 10 years ago, those goals back then are the reality today. And it's not just wishful thinking on their part. Because when you hear someone like the CEO of Moderna come out and say that we have essentially a smart vaccine, we have an operating system in our RNA, and you have Microsoft talking back in 2019 about programming genes and programming DNA and biological computing. That's what's going on right now. This is what they're obfuscating. This is what they're hiding from. This is never in the mainstream narrative. Biosensors, biological computing, genetic interference. How do they get to the DNA modification? Through interfering with the genetic sequence. Through strand displacement, which means taking out a segment of a strand of RNA, they're building computer logic systems. That's what's in the vaccines. Not only do we have the biological issues that people like Dr. Mikovits, Judy Mikovits talks about, that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. talk about, the biological, and that has to be revealed. I'm not minimizing the impact of what they're revealing. But equally impactful is what I'm revealing to you. Biosensors, biocomputing, genetic modification, the control of humans through the connecting of biological computers in every cell, converting every cell to a biological computer, and thereby connecting. When the 5G switch is finally thrown, connecting every cell in the body computationally to the quantum computers that operate the blockchain system. Okay? Question in the chat room, do they need a certain percentage of people to take the vaccine before they turn on the 5G at full max when they throw the switch? No. No, they don't need a certain number of people. I don't know the timing of the revealing of the identity of the Antichrist, but that is the event at which time they will throw the switch. We know that a third of humanity dies from reading scripture. So let's take that as a number. Let's say that a third of humanity needs to be vaccinated. Okay? That's a lot of people. A third of humanity, or 7.8 billion people and counting on this planet. Posted this to the patrons. Joe Biden announces that the U.S. will have enough vaccine for every adult by the end of May, after invoking the Defense Production Act to assist Merck, Johnson & Johnson vaccine partnership. I'll just read the excerpts. President Joe Biden announced Tuesday that there would be enough vaccine for every American adult by the end of May. Now, I've offered to you before, when they put out pronouncements of timelines, when they cite months, that is our timeline to have a sense about when the Antichrist is going to be revealed. I'm not saying he's going to be revealed in May. I'm just saying that this year is the season of the Antichrist. So when they say they're going to have enough, that doesn't necessarily mean every American adult by the end of May is going to be vaccinated. That just means there's enough quantity, there's enough supply for every American. That's a whole long distance away from actually vaccinating everyone by the end of May. So no doubt there will be people in the alternative media who will run with this and say, every American's going to be vaccinated by the end of May, according to President Joe Biden. No, that's not what's being said. There's just enough supply by the end of May. Okay? Biden is using the Defense Production Act to assist Merck with manufacturing Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine. The news of the, quote, historic partnership broke earlier on Tuesday. The announcement speaks to the ability of this administration broadly to bring them to the table, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said. Whatever her name is, I don't even know what her name is. Okay? Question in the Patreon messaging. It doesn't specify a delivery system, the jab versus the patch. Is there more information about the planned method? Does anyone know? Well, here's the answer to that question. The microneedle array patch will be the final solution to the problem of delivering the vaccine in the form of an inoculation. All of the inherent problems, all of the inherent logistical problems of actually jabbing someone with a needle, as they like to say in the UK and in Australia, takes a lot of time, takes a lot of people, a lot of logistics, and you have to refrigerate the vaccine that is delivered by way of a hypodermic needle and syringe. So to solve that problem will be the microneedle array patch, as we've said over and over all year long. When does that happen? That is when the second beast causes all to take the mark of the beast. They will roll out the microneedle array patch. They're already talking about it. Lots of you have sent me articles, especially the one coming out of the United Kingdom, out of Scotland. Lots of articles about one company or the other developing, patenting, rolling out, doing clinical trials on various designs of the microneedle array patch. We still tend to think that the company Micron will be the one that will get the nod for the microneedle array patch. However, reflective of what has been going on with the multiple pharmaceutical companies producing the vaccines, more than likely we will see multiple manufacturers of microneedle array patches. That's semantics, doesn't really matter. But as you see these articles about the microneedle array patch and they begin to promote it more and more, that also gives you a sense of how close we are to the second beast. Okay? Shows you how close we're getting to the Antichrist being revealed. The more they talk about the microneedle array patch, the more they talk about the problems with refrigerating the vaccines, the problems of distributing. So here we have the Defense Production Act to assist Merck with manufacturing of Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine. Not only that, the manufacturing problem, but Merck is the distributor in the United States. That happened under former President Donald Trump. Merck, because of, quote, their vast distribution system, their distribution infrastructure within the United States, they were given the contract to distribute the vaccines. Their arm was not twisted to do that under the Defense Production Act. But now under the Defense Production Act, they're sort of twisting Merck's arm a little bit and others in terms of the manufacturing and the distribution. But again, our expectations are based upon what we see in their proclamations of dates and the problems in their distribution and vaccination program that naturally evolves to the solution of a vaccine that does not require refrigeration and therefore can be delivered by a microneedle array patch that does not require someone who's specifically trained to jab you with a needle. Okay? Now, just for the sake of discussion, Pfizer and Moderna, their temperatures for refrigerating their vaccines and their shelf life. Pfizer, since we're in the United States here, must be kept at negative 94 degrees Fahrenheit. For those of you in the rest of the world, that's negative 70 degrees centigrade. It can be, once it's thawed from those temperatures, the Pfizer vaccine can be kept in a standard refrigerator, a shelf life in that standard refrigerator, not an ultra cold, for 5 days. Moderna, their vaccine must be ultra refrigerated at minus 4 Fahrenheit or minus 20 degrees centigrade. And once thawed, it has, Moderna's, has a 30-day shelf life in a standard refrigerator. Now, once these vaccines are removed from the refrigerator, they have about a 12-hour shelf life. So they have about 12 hours with those vials you've seen to administer, to inoculate. Okay? All righty. There was a comment here I'd like to read. I won't cite the name, but this is a emblematic of many comments we receive of this nature. A close person I know took both shots after I presented all the evidence to them. They could never overcome all the news propaganda that is being put out there as I would talk to them once a week or so and kept parroting what the news was stating in their state. It broke my heart because this person is a Christian. That whole paragraph could be reproduced thousands and thousands and thousands of times. All right. Let me check in with the chat room here in just a second. I wanted to... Okay. On the discussion of temperatures, I had sent to the patrons back on the 26th this announcement that Pfizer received approval to store their vaccine at normal freezer temperatures, which is 35 to 46 degrees Fahrenheit or 2 to 8 degrees Celsius for up to 5 days. So same thing that I just cited for you right now. Okay. My conclusion in stating that to you is that they are moving closer and closer to the microneedle array patch. Now, in parallel with that movement to the patch, this is what you can expect to hear in the mainstream narrative. That they are moving towards a singular vaccine. They will eventually settle on one vaccine. Why is that? Because in the final analysis, they are all the same vaccine. They are simply doing this for the money in the short term. The pharmaceutical companies and those that are associated with them are making billions of dollars off this. But it is a singular vaccine. Singular in the fact that it is a biocomputer, a biosensor, a DNA modifier, that it does not matter if it's DNA or RNA based. It does not matter if it is coming from Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna, or anyone else. The core constituent pieces of the biosensor, biocomputing activities, along with our citations of luciferase, quantum dots, hydrogels, okay? All of these things are already in every vaccine from every pharmaceutical company. How can we say that? We've published the evidence in the magazine. Okay? Now, to the third strand of DNA that was mentioned in that article. The third strand of DNA is something that we will more than likely, I mean, there's a lot that can happen over the next 3.5 weeks before I publish the April issue of Entangled Magazine. But at this point, in conjunction with continuing the discussion and the presentation of evidence regarding biocomputing and the programming of genes, I want to examine why the third strand of DNA is being delivered and what its function is. I've been talking about it for years and years and years in the context of dormant nanoparticles. Well, the dormant nanoparticles are the enzymes, the proteins, and the genes, the small molecules, along with the quantum dots. These are the nanoparticles. The enzyme luciferase is a nanoparticle. It is dormant. Okay? It will emit, once the 5G switch is thrown under the Antichrist, luciferase will begin to emit a near-infrared signal that can be detected. Okay? That is in the present vaccines, but I think April Entangled Magazine will be devoted to the third strand of DNA and its obvious connection to biocomputing and biosensing. Okay. All right. I'd like to take some questions in the chat room. Vimeo chat room, I'd like to take some questions from you if you have any tonight. We have about a half an hour, okay, for questions. Hopefully my voice will hold up. I was out dealing with the snow this morning, and I think my throat sort of got the better of me being out in the blizzard this morning. We literally had a blizzard going this morning here in New Hampshire. It was crazy. High winds, blowing snow. I think we had about 4 or 5 inch snow accumulation. It was very dry, so it accumulated pretty thickly. So does the luciferase not glow until 5G hits it? 5G is hitting the dormant nanoparticles, and with that, the luciferase is then activated by the 5G signal. The 5G signal is a very specific signal. Okay, it's not just 5G like we have for our Wi-Fi internet. Okay, it's a signal that is broadcast by 5G, and that will cause the enzyme to be stimulated and thus emit a near-infrared signal. Okay, so that will be when, as I like to say, when the switch is thrown. Okay, and again, it requires a detector. It's not, because it's near infrared, you cannot see it with the naked eye. What is the side effects of vaccinated people donating blood or organs to an unvaccinated person? We had that question come up Sunday in the last live stream. What are the side effects of vaccinated people donating blood or organs to an unvaccinated person? That unvaccinated person will be infected with SARS-CoV-2. Okay? So a vaccinated person donating blood, that blood is contaminated in the form of chimeric DNA. Those people receiving that blood, that is no different than receiving the vaccine. The unvaccinated person receiving the blood or the organs will have side effects similar, if not the same, to those that are donating the blood. Again, the side effects are strictly individual, case by case. Too many variables, too many independent variables. But yes, generally speaking, they will have severe side effects. Okay? Yeah, Hannah, we don't talk about the identity of the Antichrist. Sorry. We just don't get into that. It is highly speculative, and if and it is not something that's been revealed yet by the Lord. First question, who has effectively taken the mark of the beast already? Everyone that's been vaccinated, Chris. Everyone that's been vaccinated has taken the mark of the beast. They just don't know it. But they will know it, and they will worship the beast. Vaccine shedding. Can you give us a quick explanation on how long they will shed, and will it be the same virus as they are calling COVID-19? COVID-19 is the disease. SARS-CoV-2 is the virus. So, vaccine shedding. There is no terminating the virus. Therefore, the shedding will continue as long as that person is alive. Shedding means that a person is a carrier, and other people will contract the virus from that person. This is because the DNA is permanently changed. We are hearing about mutations, especially in the United Kingdom and in Africa, mutated forms of the virus. So that sort of segues over into, well, if there are mutated forms, won't that require another vaccination, another round of vaccination with a new vaccine that is specific to those mutations? This is a tangent to your question. The vaccine that they are delivering today, doesn't matter what company, already addresses the mutations. Because the mutations are expected, the mutations are planned. When you design in silico a synthetic virus, which is what SARS is, SARS-CoV-2 is synthetic. It does not qualify as a true virus, nor the vaccine as a true vaccine. But it is a designer, and therefore they know exactly how it will mutate. Therefore, the vaccine that they're delivering already takes that into account. Are they trying to cure people of the present form and the mutated form of the virus? No, they're not trying to provide any therapeutic, no preventative, no prophylactic, no curative. And because it fails on all those points, it fails the definition of a vaccine. It doesn't do any of those. And so the discussion of mutations is irrelevant, because even if they came out with new vaccines to address the mutated forms, those vaccines likewise are not curative, therapeutic, prophylactic. They're not vaccines. And there's not enough time to roll out a second round of vaccinations to the entire global population. Obviously, there are second vaccine inoculations taking place. There are people receiving a second vaccine inoculation. But what I'm talking about is the global population. There's not enough time in their timetable. That's why Operation Warp Speed. There's not enough time for them to inoculate first time the entire global population. That's why the mark of the beast and all of the components are in the first vaccine. So don't even worry about the mainstream narrative hyping up mutations. That is irrelevant. They don't have time to address mutations. They don't want to. They're not even addressing SARS-CoV-2. It is not prophylactic, it is not therapeutic, and it is not curative. Okay? Will the ultimate solution for children, will, Anthony, will the patch be the ultimate solution for children under the age of 16 or no? Okay, well, children under the age of 16 should not be receiving the vaccine, whether it's by the microneedle array patch or by a hypodermic needle and syringe. So there is no solution, literally, there is no solution for children under the age of 16. Children under the age of 16 receive inoculations by needle all the time. So maybe I don't understand the question, but no one should be receiving the vaccines. They're not vaccines, they're poisons. Is there any way to tell who has been vaccinated? I remember the science fiction movie as a kid where you could tell who the aliens were. Yeah, that was called Them. I think it was the movie Them. Roddy somebody was the actor who put on the dark glasses, and then he could see the guys that were monsters, their skeletons, the freaks. Okay, I think it was called Them. Will we be able to tell who's been vaxxed? That's a very good question. Spiritually, they will be different because we are gifted with the Holy Spirit. We're given, all of you who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit that gives you the discernment. You will be able to discern that there is a change in their spirit. Let's start at that level. Now, biologically, physiologically, psychologically, from their behavior will change. And then physiologically, the side effects. Okay, so that's a quick answer. Side effects will be the most obvious. What is the main difference with the Johnson & Johnson single shot versus Moderna and Pfizer's double? Okay, well, Johnson & Johnson is using DNA-based. Okay, and they're claiming that it is a single shot, and that is because it then translates to RNA. Whereas Moderna and Pfizer are already RNA. Johnson & Johnson is claiming that they have a greater expression of protein, glycoprotein, antigens, than Moderna and Pfizer's. And so Moderna and Pfizer is doing what is called priming. Moderna and Pfizer are priming with their first vaccine. This is how they explain it. And that the primer elicits a low level response by the adaptive immune system. Okay? But what they actually are saying in terms of primers is the innate immune system. That they are priming the immune system that already has antibodies developed for previous forms of influenza, previous viruses, that there's a low level of antibodies that the immune system already produced, therefore people are primed. This is the pathogenic priming we've talked about. And so they are priming the innate immune system to likewise, like it did with flu shots, to express a low level of antigens. Then Moderna and Pfizer's second vaccine, this is what they claim, okay, will then elicit a higher response based upon the production in the second shot of antigens at a higher level that the adaptive immune system adapts to that greater production of antigens, proteins, by the second shot from Moderna and Pfizer. Johnson & Johnson is saying they don't need to prime the innate system. They are eliciting a response from the adaptive immune system, which is a higher level of antigen production. Okay? So I'm trying to just say it very slowly and deliberately so you can kind of digest what I'm saying here. Okay? What are the nanobots for? That's for delivering. Nanobots are for delivering drugs, which are chemicals, which are proteins, which are enzymes. They are also for delivering metals, nanoscale, nanoparticle, gold and copper, in the form of the quantum dots. So the nanobots function as the machinery for the delivery of the quantum dots and proteins and enzymes. Okay? Question, so do you still feel the third strand of DNA is somehow tied to the Nephilim DNA and since? Was listening to your 2018 December show earlier. Fascinating. Well, that does go back 2018 to the discussion of the Nephilim DNA. The third strand of DNA is designed. When we talk about in silico, it is designed based upon a pattern. It is conceivable that they have been able to determine to locate Nephilim DNA and utilize that as a pattern that is incorporated, not in its entirety, but incorporating segments of that Nephilim DNA pattern. Now, you don't have to have DNA that is biologically sound. All you have to do is sequence it. All you need to do is to determine the arrangement of the nucleosides. Okay? The bases. The patterns of the bases. You don't have to have what would be considered live DNA. You simply have to sequence the DNA. So the story, if you will, is that we obtained, the United States military obtained samples of Nephilim DNA when we invaded Iraq, when we went to the Iraq National Museum and stole artifacts, that we obtained Nephilim DNA from the Iraqi National Museum. And that there is the possibility that they have used this sequence for the construction of the third strand of DNA. Stand by for the April edition of Entangled Magazine. Okay, let's see. What about couples where one of them has taken the vaccine? This ultimately will separate them, as the Bible says. I work with so many that are in split households. I've been reading lately that now they're advising people for 28 days to practice safe sex following vaccination. Following vaccination, 28 days. Practicing safe sex. Really? Why is that necessary? That's a big question. But more to your question regarding couples, regarding hopefully husband and wife. If you have one that takes the vaccine and the other that doesn't, that can cause a split in the relationship. Most definitely. And if you look at it spiritually, it will be the separating of the wheat and the tares. It's inescapable. Yes, Dr. Tim. the Microsoft patent 666 is combined with the patch. That is the communication system, and that is on our handout, Operation Rooftop, and we've also published it in several issues of Entangled Magazine. Yes, that is the patent outlining specifically the connecting of humans to the quantum computing system of the blockchain. Okay? Should we be concerned if they are shedding the virus? Well, it depends on you as an individual. Again, this goes to the variables, pre-existing conditions, your state of your physiology, what vaccines you've taken in the past. But generally speaking, I'll give a general answer to that. People that are in reasonably good health should not be concerned about shedding, should not be concerned about contracting the virus. Why do I say that? Because the medical professionals, the literature, have said that people that are in reasonably good health, and that has to be defined, but reasonably good health will only suffer moderate to minor to moderate effects of the virus itself, and that 99%, this is from the literature, 99% of the global population will survive exposure to the virus, that they will recover. 99% of the world's population, this even comes out of the WHO and out of the CDC, will recover if they are exposed. So shedding is not a concern, but the caveat is it depends on the individual. You have to look at your pre-existing conditions, the state of your physiology, what vaccines that you have been, that you've taken in the past that set you up for pathogenic priming, and what allergies you may have pre-existing, okay? So it has to be on a case-by-case basis that you address that question, okay? So, looks like someone who has recovered from the virus does not get vaccinated. Well, according to all of those agencies that are pushing vaccination, they are saying even if someone recovers from the virus, they still have to be vaccinated. Well, that's very telling, okay? Because normally, if you look at the seasonal influenza, if you are exposed in the wild to an influenza virus, your innate and then adaptive immune system will produce antibodies, and you do not need to be vaccinated. That's what they were telling us with the seasonal influenza vaccines, that if you've already recovered from the flu, from that specific strain of flu, okay, then you don't need to be vaccinated. Well, they're telling us the complete opposite now. They're saying that even if you've recovered from the virus SARS-CoV-2, you still need to be vaccinated. Well, that is because there's a lot more in the vaccine than simply addressing the virus. Okay? Okay, let me see what we've got here. Roddy Piper. Thank you for posting that. Yep, them. let's see, I'm trying, chat is jumping around quite a bit. I need to give a message to my wife, Kathleen. The dogs are going crazy and need to go outside. Okay, so Abby's back there just going nuts. Okay, sorry. Let's see, what have we got for questions? My question is more, how will children be entangled with AI? Oh, very good question. How will they be entangled? The quantum dots are known as artificial electrons. They are single quantum dots are, sorry, my voice is going away. Quantum dots are single electron atoms. It's the electrons that are entangled within the human body, the electrons in the quantum dots. Those electrons in the quantum dots are entangled with each other, with pairs. Those are then entangled to the quantum computers by way of entanglement between the human body's quantum dots and the quantum computers, its electrons or photons, because there are there are qubits based on photons. You have entanglement between electrons in the human body and electrons in the quantum computers. I'm sorry, folks, my voice is really going away. Let me see if I can do one last question, and then we're going to need to wrap it up because I was outside in the snow, as I said. Okay, let's see. Are all the people involved in the manufacturing of this vaccine poison, are they aware of what they are doing, or are they compartmentalized on a need-to-know basis? Yes, they are compartmentalized. They do not know what they're doing. It's the ones at the very top that are answering to the powers that be that know what is going on. The person that's, you know, the production worker, the factory worker, the lab worker, they don't necessarily know what's going on. They are highly compartmentalized. Good question, and that's where I think we'll leave it because I just don't have a voice anymore. Just want to say thank you. God bless you all. Thank you for your patronage. Thank you for hiring Kathleen and myself. And yes, I did answer the question, Vivian. Don't worry about people that are shedding the virus, but it was more complex. It's individual. It's an individual, pre-existing conditions, your pathophysiology, your age. I answered the question and I'm losing my voice. I'm sorry. I got to say goodnight. Thank you again. I don't want to just rush off. I want to say thank you. God bless you. And good evening.